Yeah, we do that. That would be way cool.
Yeah, you can take that chair. That's awesome. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to record?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and we'll play it in the 8 o'clock hour.
Anybody get a chance to look at it, the book?
You know what? I just got back today.
Nobody. We don't have the book
They're
yet.
On the way. They haven't gotten here yet, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Do we have one?
Excited.
We have. Do I have one, Keith?
The first one.
We have been following the band.
We got one. Look at that. Come on, Howard.
We've heard of your band.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of juicy journey in there.
Is there?
All the questions I've been asked for the last 35 years.
You finally go, I'm going to answer them once and for all.
Yeah, here it is. But it ain't the tell-all book, for sure. It's not one of those books. It's but it is a lot of stuff. People always ask me, like, what happened to Steve? You know, I'm like,
right.
Well, this is what I know. So it's what I've experienced as a member of the band. You know, and then, of course, once the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was...
That was awesome.
That kind of really... That was my opening, you know? Because I was looking for a place to open in the book, and once that happened, I knew.
This
is going to pull the reader right in.
Oh, yeah.
What made you decide to write a book? Because nobody else has yet, right?
Yeah, nobody's written a book.
Which is surprising.
Well, it's kind of such a journey. You know, my journey started, you know, out of a horrible school fire, believe it or not, in 1958 in Chicago. I witnessed 92 children perished in my own school at 8 years old. And three nuns, you know, and it's sort of a out of the ashes, you know, story. How does a little boy get his act together, you know?
Right.
We were all just traumatized and in disbelief, you know, that something like that would, evil would come into our neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, and destroy in such a fashion. It was just horrible. It was, you know, just quietly evil. And my father said, well, you were saved that day because you have greatness for music on you, you know. So he prophesied this whole, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi or something. My dad was like,
right?
He was the wise one, you know. And I received, so he's kind of my vision keeper. And he's like, I have a vision for you, and this is what we're going to do. And you're going to be play for 10,000 people a night, and I'm only 8, you know. I think that's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
Well, that is a great story.
And he's the one, there was a point in your career you go, maybe I should just stop, right?
Exactly, yeah. You know, and I got to the roadblock, and, you know, and he's always like, the blessing is right beyond the battle. This breakthrough is right beyond the struggle. He kept telling me all this stuff. And
what
John,
a great dad.
John, don't stop believing.
Yeah.
And I wrote it down in my lyric book, carried it around with me like a mantra for like 5 years, and Journey needed another song. I looked in that book, I'm like, that's a Journey song right there.
Right.
And I, you know, so I've been working with Steve for a little bit there. I was writing with him and I heard his voice in my head, like the chorus, don't stop. And, you know, I was like, oh, there it is.
That's awesome, man.
Your dad heard the song and then sued you for royalties, right?
No, I set him up, man. I took care of my dad.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I took him to Phoenix. I got him out of Chicago, set him up in Scottsdale next to a golf course. You know.
Beautiful.
Your music, like,
now, hang on 1 second before you get there. Speaking
so
of Scottsdale.
That's kind of like the backstory of it, you know.
Okay.
I mean? And also, it's kind of a love story from his son to his dad. I want to leave what my dad did for me, so maybe other dads would get fired up about their kids, like my dad was fired up about me.
So cool.
And, you know, to encourage and guide and, you know, speak into your children's life, you know. Don't sit on the sidelines while your kid is making, you know, and start early. You know, I'm working on a kid's book called My Dad Matters.
Oh, that's
because
awesome.
Because I want to start, you know, early with the parents giving a mom and dad a roadmap. Hey, you know, he's got authority. He is the king. Treat him like that. You know, too often I hear people telling me, my kid doesn't listen to me. I'm like, well, that's your fault.
Right.
You've got to start somewhere.
True.
So this book is kind of shows, you know, that life happens. What do you make your first million? What are you going to do with it? You know, how are you going to keep it? You know, you get divorced. How are you going to pick yourself up? You know, so it's constantly, you know, facing battles and overcoming them, you know, and having the Holy Spirit in the background.
Right, yeah.
You know, holding you up, you know, and then all of a sudden you get to the point where, you know, you're marrying a pastor and now God's really running for you. You know, you hear God going, hey, what about me? You know, I've been here all these years paying the bills for you, making sure you got up when you stumbled. give me some love. So that's what that's where I'm at now, and I feel like I'm in a better place because of His grace, you know.
Right.
So
now, how has that changed things for you in the band throughout years?
You know, they see the change.
Yeah.
But you know, they see I'm happy, and I don't sell religion to anybody. You know, I'm not trying to sell religion. Or anything like that. This is how it is for me, you know. And I grew up wanting to be a priest.
And who's going to say? Who's going to say, "Damn that Jonathan and his pesky spirituality"?
Yeah. No. Well, they there was a little bit of that online, you know. But
yeah.
Believe it or not, it's good vibes anyway.
I don't say anybody's God's better than anybody. If this is how it is for me, you know. You know, the grace is there if you want it. That's all. It's a country club. All you got to do is, you know, say I do, you know, and you get all this, you know, love and stuff. And I just felt it over the years. And I go, well, it's no accident. You know, I was baptized a Christian and a Catholic. And now, you know, I just give it back to the Lord. I just made two worship albums.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you.
That's cool.
I did. I made, and they rock too. They're, you know, that's me. I didn't, you know, suck up to what they're doing.
Right.
I'm doing my thing.
Hit the road with Striper.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. You know, and it's really fun because I just did a Christmas album, and it's just wicked good. You know, I did like 10 original Christmas songs about the Nativity that hasn't ever been written, you know. Oh, so cool. Being a songwriter, I like to do what's not out there, you know.
Right.
I got another one in the can I'm dropping. Plus, this book has got a CD that goes with it. It's coming out in June, along with this great audio book that we just did. I got to read the book.
Nice.
And I laced it with music about my life that I've been writing all these years. You know, I wrote these songs about me, about growing up, about my father, my old man, my kids being born, almost, you know, the fire, almost drowning in a lake, you know, all this stuff. Wow. That I wanted to define. When Journey took a hiatus, I wanted to find who I was. Who's the guy that wrote Faithfully? Where is he? Please come forward.
Yeah.
We want to meet you. You know, so I found him. And it was very Holy Spirit based. I mean, I realized, so it was the Lord. I wrote Faithfully in 20 minutes.
Wow.
On a napkin.
Man.
I never, you know, and that kind of stunned me. And that was just God pushing my hand on the paper going, highway running to the midnight, you know. And no, I had nobody to talk to when I wrote it. Uh-huh. I was just sitting in a hotel room by myself. Which is something I never done before, you know, just like automatic, here it is, and here's the melody, and then showing it to Steve Perry, and, you know, and he said, well, I'll sing it. It's just don't get out of the studio. I don't want you in the studio without singing it. I'm like, deal.
Why was that?
Because he knew it was my song, and he didn't want me to get possessive about it.
Yeah, okay.
And I trusted him, you know. Steve, absolutely, man. Okay. You can sing it any way you want. And I'm sure he tried every single thing that in his bag of tricks that he and he ended up with the most beautiful vocal ever.
Sure. Yeah, it's awesome. You know?
So I remember sitting there coming on a Friday. I'm like, hey, he says, it's done. Come and listen. So they had mixed the darn thing already. And I sat down and they turned the speakers on and I got goosebumps. I just sat there and I started weeping.
Aww.
I just started, this is going to be, you know, this song, this little song that came out of my heart, you know, ended up being an anthem.
Oh, yeah.
And then people started saying, hey, bringing science to the concert, we're forever yours faithfully. I was like, come on, you can't even make that up.
Right.
You know, so.
Man, you've got the stories.
This story. Yeah. These are, corridors. That, you know, I sort of was following as I went through my life, you know, and then there was a real cool guy at the end of the corridor said, turn left. Okay. And then there's another corridor, and then there's somebody else at the end going, you got to go right now, you know, and just following, you know, the destiny that my father had proclaimed back when 58 after the fire, you know. So it's pretty remarkable that God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But he wanted to. He wanted to pound me like a sword, you know, just pound me out like, no. And I think about the sustainability of my career over 40 years in rock and roll.
It's awesome.
No flash in the pan here.
Yeah.
But without all of that struggle and that sort of, you know, humbling, you know, there's a humbling that happens when you get rejected, when you're told you can't. So the takeaway from this book is you're not always who they say you are. You know,
right.
That, you know, don't let anybody, you're uniquely you, and anything's possible.
What was it like when David Chase made the phone call about your little song about believing?
Yeah, we got an email from the publisher, you know, our publisher. They checked. We never really heard from David Chase personally, but the year before the Sopranos episode was aired, we got this email, you know, Sopranos would like to use your song for it. And I just freaked out. I went,
wow.
Oh, wow. And do you want to see the script? And I went, nah, I don't want to see it. I trust whatever. And then I heard that, you know, Steve wanted to see the last page, what was going on.
Right.
And he signed off immediately. You know, it was like, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And of course, when it aired, we needed that press because our singer had gone down, Steve Augeri. We were in between singers. We were in a kind of a holding pattern, Neil and I, just like looking for a new voice to take us to the next place.
Right.
Walmart had said, well, we want to put out a Journey album, but we want the greatest hits. Well, that predicated greatness, you know. You got somebody to sing the greatest hits in a couple months, you know, really. I mean, those records took us years to make, you know, and to write. And so when Arnell came, you know, he was immediately put into the fire, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he comes right from the Philippines. I had to get him a speech therapy guy, you know, to help him with his speech.
Because
his English was just so rusty, you know, he hadn't really. And this lady came and helped him with the lyrics, and lo and behold, we got through it, you know. But Filipinos, you know, they have a certain way of saying things. Like they have trouble with the S, peace. And he was saying peas. Oh, no, peace.
Peace, yeah.
You know, and then the, you know. So, I mean, just he's so good, you know. And then he has these bad habits. So I got to work with him and just kind of turn him around from all the things that he'd been doing in the clubs, you know. I don't think he's ever been in a studio that much, you know. But, boy, once we got him on track, man, he was unbelievable. Just killed it.
And everybody loves him.
Even Steve.
I mean, how I'm he was you. Welcome yeah. to the band.
Well, Neil, that's Neil.
Fans.
I mean, Neil found him on YouTube. I got to give it to Neil there because he believed in Arnell, you know, which I think says a lot about, hey, you know, he might be, you know, a different race and from a different country, but this is what could work for us. And I was, you know, kind of the doubting Thomas. I mean, we made we didn't make it, but a Filipino filmmaker made a documentary called Every Man's Journey. And in that, you see the sort of transformation of Arnell from a rock singer to a rock star, you know.
That's awesome.
And he had to learn the Western civilization and the culture and the time zone changes, and they did a good job of showing him evolve, you know. Every show he did, he got better. Everything he, you know, so it was like, and then he would always say, oh, these are big shoes to fill, and I want to go home, and I don't know if I can, you know. And it turned out that his shoe size is the same as Steve Perry.
Oh my God. Really?
Same shoe size.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, little feet size. We had a guy from Nike come out of blue. He says, I got a pair of Steve Perry's old sneakers that he never picked up. You want to send them to Arnell? I said, oh, man, he'd be. So
that's awesome.
So he wore them at Dodger Stadium.
Oh my gosh, what a great story.
Last year, yeah.
You should write a book about these.
Maybe I should write a book. No, it's little things like that that I have rolling around in my head. I'm like, it's time to just lay this all out there, you know. And I'm just, you know, after, you know, all these years and the, you know, there's still people out there to think we kicked Steve Perry out of the band, you know.
What?
No, I mean, come on. Yeah. No, never.
After being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Steve being there, of course, everybody, I know we talk about it a lot. You're friendly with Steve. Is it ever going to happen? Are we going to see that reunion?
You know, you really have to ask him. I have no idea. The door has always been open for Steve to come back and join us. That would be a dream come true for Arnell. I mean, he'd love to share the stage with him.
Oh, cool.
And certainly, I thought he'd show up at soundcheck at the Hall of Fame. You know, I kept looking in the wings. He's coming. And he declined, you know. So, but where he did, you know, shine was when he got on stage. And even before, you know, backstage was so, you know, open and transparent and honest with everybody and happy to be there, you know, and he welcomed us kind of, excuse the pun, with open arms, especially Arnell, you know, and he got Arnell got them in the hallway, and they went in a room and spent some time talking to each other. I just thought, that is so. If anything else, man, I mean, he deserved to be there. He deserved to be happy and be proud.
Give me his phone number. I need to call him right now. Give it to me.
He likes his private life, though. You know,
he does.
Yeah. He's very private, man. And I respect that. You know, yeah. I respect his privacy. That was always a thing, you know, for him. And fame can, you know, in the road, can wear away at you.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
How much longer will you go?
I don't know, man. As long as it's still, we're still having fun.
Yeah.
You know, I reckon Mick Jagger is 72, right?
Yeah. How can you not have fun? You're with Def Leppard touring.
I know.
Yeah. Woo!
Hey, well, you know, I'd give it 7 years, maybe. Ross says seven. I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool.
5 to 7. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still fun, you know, and everybody's getting along. And, you know, making this Christian music really has renewed me as a writer, you know, redefined me. Give me confidence to go forward, just doing anything, you know, because when you sing for the Lord, something happens, you know. And I don't really get to sing lead in Journey, but when I lead Praise, you know, I get full of the Spirit.
It's a pretty, whole different kind of thing.
It's cool, man. It's cool. Well, I started out singing for the Lord in the choir.
Right.
I was in the boys' choir in church, singing back to the priest in Latin, you know.
Wow.
And that's where I began singing Latin back to the priest who was, you know, performing the mass.
Sure.
Were you an altar boy?
I did not get up that early. I preferred being a choir boy.
Yeah.
And then my voice changed. They kicked me out.
There you go.
Oh.
So it's all in the book, folks. Yeah. Don't stop
get
believing.
The book.
The man, the band, and the song that changed generations.
Yeah.
It's right here. Yeah, we got to see it, but you can't see it, folks. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. We've got a terrific audiobook. They actually let me read it, and it's on Amazon Audible. And I laced it with all these songs, you know, that are part of my life that sort of, you know, tell the story as well. So it's kind of this multi-layered thing when you listen to it. It was really, it took me about 4 or 5 days, you know, in the studio to read it, to get to where it is now. And with that, in June, there's a CD going to be on iTunes. I wrote a song about writing the book. Of course I did.
Right.
it's called The Songs You Leave Behind. That's the title of it. So the album on iTunes will be called The Songs You Leave Behind from the book Don't Stop Believing. And there's 19 songs, believe it or not, that and there's over 20 some songs on the audiobook.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a little pause, and I even wrote a song about my German Shepherd, you know. And it was my language. It's, you know, that's songwriting is my language, and that's the way I express myself. And music is a conversation, you know. And I just love songwriting. I fell in love with it after my first tune. And my dad was the one that says, oh, don't get into that jazz and that blues. You won't make any money. You got to keep writing them songs, John.
That's right.
The songs are where it's at, you know. And I focused in on what he was saying. I noticed, you know, Burt Bacharach, and I noticed the Beatles and Beach Boys, you know, what they were doing. I'm like, check this out, man. You know, really cool. Music changed, you know, in the late 60s, got my attention. I mean, if you think about a kid growing up, you know, in the 50s, it was kind of doo-wop dumb, you know?
Yeah.
Rock and roll, you know, rock around the clock and all. That was fun, but it was only 4 chords, you know? I'm like, and now all of a sudden we got this Moody Blues comes along, you know, and I'm like, are you kidding? This is great. Just music, rock and roll evolved so quickly, you know, and became so musical. I just fell in love with it, you know, right around the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the band CTA came out, Chicago Transit Authority, from my hometown. And I go to school with these guys. They're going to DePaul, which is across the street from Roosevelt, where I went. And I hear about them. I go see them. Pizza Terra was playing in Chicago with his band, The Exceptions. One night, we heard about this, but when Good Vibrations came out, he had his band learn that song in a week, and we're performing it live.
Wow. That's funny.
Wow.
And we went to see it one night, and we couldn't believe it. My brother and I were like, these guys are good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tommy Shaw
from
Styx was in a band called MS Funk. You know, I mean, purely Black Oak, Arkansas blues, you know, would kick his marshals over and, you know, just this rowdy. And they're all seven-piece harmony singing Uriah Heep, you know, and you're going, come on. So I got a real look at some, you know, early, you know, I talk to Tommy about MS Funk all the time when I see him. You know, but it was just really exciting time. Chicago was really a music town, you know, growing up.
Oh, yeah.
We had Wes Montgomery and all these, you know, Buddy Rich would come. And so it was quite a music, a blues scene, a jazz scene, and a rock scene, you know, all downtown Chicago. So, yeah, I was happy that music was alive and well in the Windy City.
Now, any of the guys read the book yet?
Yep, they like it.
They like it, right? They like it. That's good.
Neil said it made him smile a couple times. I was good. That's good. Because we certainly you know, reinvented that band. We brought it back from the dead. I mean, we had some dark moments, man. We didn't know what to do. And it was just our determination and belief that the music is bigger than one guy, you know.
Right.
And we just to carry on. And it was tough, you know, and it's all in the book. So any Journey fan... And the babies, of course, you know.
Oh, the babies were.
It's a lot of music business too. There's like if you're in the music business and it's music business 101. You know, the good things to do and then what not to do, and how to make a good record and what happens when you make a bad record. You know, and you know, arguing with managers and record companies and, you know, getting a drop from a label and, you know, all that, you know, and just how cool Journey was when I got there. It was like, are you kidding? Herbie had it so dialed, you know, and I struggled to get to Journey camp. And then when I saw how cool he had it going on, I mean, we never had an A&R guy come in and listen to any of our music till the album was done. Come on.
Wow.
I mean, didn't mess with us. Not until we handed it in, you know. That's how he kept us insulated. We had our own rehearsal warehouse, you know. We didn't have to go to SIR to rehearse. We had our own place.
That's awesome.
It was completely private, you know. Great stories like that where you go, how could you not, you know, do well?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They Herbie set us up to just be, you know, completely comfortable and rock. And then, you know, we have all this greatness in the band. You know, Steve Perry and Neil Sean, I'm like, are you kidding me? And this rhythm section, you know, Ross Valerie, Steve Smith, how could it not be great? Yeah, you know, all I have to do is just hang out, you know, and write. And that's what we did.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, John, thanks so much for dropping by.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We appreciate
Thank you, guys.
It. And pick up the book.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah. And we'll see you
so
guys
cool.
Thank you.
Later on this year.
Yeah, we're coming around with the Def Leppard boys. Ooh. So stay tuned. JourneyMusic.com.